Thanks to Skillshare for supporting the Productivity Show. Skillshare is offering the Productivity Show listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes for just 99 cents. To sign up, go to skillshare.com/TPS. Welcome to The Productivity Show, the Asian efficiency podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of your time, energy, and attention. I'm Tan Pham, CEO of Asian Efficiency. And in today's episode, I interview Lynann Saperstein, a very successful businesswoman who travels all over the world and someone who has a very unique approach to productivity. She wasn't always this productive though, but 5 years ago when she started her business, she didn't know anything about productivity and she couldn't keep up with the demand of her business. Her clients were getting upset and she knew she needed to make a change. Today, she's sharing her story of how she transformed her life by hiring a coach, why she hired an assistant just to remind her what to do, and how she has managed to travel the world and still be Asian efficient. She also shares her favorite workflows, apps, and tools that she uses to run her company to stay productive. You can find all the links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/222. And now, on with the show. All right, today I have with me Lynann. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm so glad that we can record in person because it's something that we just started doing. And it's something that I'm super excited about because I think it levels up the interaction that we have with our guests.
When you get to look somebody in the eyes, right? It's not just like a Zoom call or something. Yeah. It's really powerful. It's cool to be in your house too.
Thank you. I try to make sure that everybody's comfortable, has their Topo Chico or whatever your flavor is. And today we're going to be talking about how you went from being this unorganized person to now being super Asian efficient, as we like to call it. And I'm really inspired by your story because you mentioned that you hired a coach a couple of years ago. You travel a lot, like you run a successful business and you're in different time zones all the time. Like I'm really curious how you get stuff done. So we're going to dive deeper today and really, I want to kind of like pick your brain because before we start recording, you were saying how, you know, you work and how you think about stuff and how you see like the female mind being super organized. And I'm super curious about all that sort of stuff. But for those who don't know you, can you give a brief introduction of who you are?
Sure. So my home base is here in Austin, Texas, and I run and own a marketing agency for boutique hotels and resorts. And we've been doing that for about 6-7 years. And I've been in the entrepreneur space for about 10, just a passionate coach and consultant and was always learning and always wanting to share. And I do a lot of speaking. And so you can already hear it's like I'm a multitasker. I am a type A. I do a lot of things. My background is actually in events. And so I've brought events back into my business. And so I just produced a large travel conference called TravelCon with my good friend, Matt Kepnes, Nomadic Matt. And I run a team, a core team of 5 people. We have about 15 additional contractors. So that is extra stuff. And then I also co-founded a networking group here in Austin called the Society of Women Entrepreneurs. And that's not even like all of what I do, but that's a quick overview. So I do a lot of different things. I'm a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I'm a multifaceted human being. So for me, entrepreneurship has become this really luxurious, interesting personal growth and spiritual journey. And so I'm constantly exploring myself and exploring my relationship with the world and other people through my service and what I'm creating. And so that's been sort of the journey for the past 10 years.
Wow. You have so much going on. I always find it very interesting how some people have a lot of different passion topics and projects that they're working on. They have multiple businesses. And I'm like, wow, that really requires some organization and focus because I just have one thing going on and that's Asian efficiency. And I'm already like focused and like really trying to make sure everything is running smoothly and the train is going forward. And before we started recording, you mentioned to me how you weren't this person before, meaning you weren't that organized. Like if I was talking to Lenin like 6-7 years ago,
do you I was think- a hot mess. That's a good way to explain it. I mean, I lived in New York City. That's where I started the company, Experience Experts. And I mean, it was crazy. I mean, I think the chaos there, you know, I came from corporate. So I came from structure. I came from someone else telling me what to do. I came from, this is your schedule. And I had to discover what it was for myself. And there was a huge learning curve there. And I think I've always been kind of that, that genius mind who just has a million things going on. And I accepted that. And I just like thought, oh, that's just how I'm going to be forever. And when you run your own business and you're the boss, you're the CEO, that just doesn't fly. Like that cannot work. And it will affect your bottom line. It will affect your mental health. It will affect your happiness. And so you have to get organized. There's like no way around it. There's no excuses. Like you have to learn. And some of it was people like yelling at me and mentors and friends and also seeing successful entrepreneurs around me and being inspired by them. That's why I'm a huge advocate for like masterminds and finding a good networking community where you live or when you're traveling, because that is an amazing way for you to see what else is possible for your organization. So I don't know if I can go back into like my mindset back then. I mean, I was overwhelmed constantly, like to the point of tears, you know, trying a lot of the wrong things because I didn't know where to put my energy and my resources and sometimes my money, and would just blow money on something and then be like, oh, this was not even what we were supposed to be doing. So it was stressful, and I would say not supportive to my personal growth and not supportive to my business growth.
So then describe to me what your typical day looked like back then. Like, how did you start your day? What was your thought process when you start your day and how you just got stuff done?
There was probably like no semblance, no routine, no structure. Like I can barely think back. Like maybe I was making YouTube videos and maybe I was following up with emails and maybe I was all over Facebook. It's hard to say. Like it was all over the place. And that was, I was coaching at the beginning. I was like a business coach, and I rode the highs and lows. I mean, I had a lot of money. I would get a great contract, but not fill my pipeline, not be working on my sales, getting really immersed in the client. And then it was like crickets, nothing, no money. And so it was that like survive and thrive. Like I couldn't get to thrive. I was literally struggling a lot. And you know, when your business is struggling, you're struggling, relationships struggle, it just sort of trickles out to all parts of your life. And it wasn't fun. It really started to like wear on me. Like I turned entrepreneurship into a job.
Yeah. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs can relate to that. And there's this weird phenomena where people get into entrepreneurship, starting a business, thinking that, oh, you know, I'm going to work for myself. I'm going to have all this free time. And in reality, actually, you end up working way more than you ended up doing at your job. And it doesn't take, I mean, it doesn't take genius to get to, you know, minimize that. But everybody goes through that transitional phase. And if you don't know how to organize yourself and be productive, then it can be really overwhelming. And then some people quit and then they give up. But, you know, if you really have a strong desire to make it work, at the end of the day, whether you have systems or processes or structure, you'll still get it done, right? It's maybe not the most peaceful way of going about it, right? But I'm curious to hear from your point of view then, is at what point did you decide then to say, okay, enough is enough. Like the way I'm running my business or the way I'm running my life right now, it's just, okay, this is not how it can continue, because you mentioned that you start hiring a coach. So what kind of led you to say, okay, I need to have somebody else help me?
So I would say there's kind of like two pieces to that. One was that I started to be nomadic. I started to travel a lot more. And this is something I talk about with nomadic or even just like location independent traveler business owners. You have to be 1,000 times more organized than someone who's sitting in there at their desk. I mean, I'm about to leave and go on a trip, and I have to literally take photos of all the papers in this one folder. So we have them in a file. And so if we need to reference anything that's on these flyers, it's in a Google Doc folder that anybody could reach, not just me, my assistant, anyone on my team. And you have to be 10 steps ahead in your mindset with everything. You're where you're going to be, what, like we talked about time zones. You just have to be organized. There's no way around it when you're traveling, because I don't do check bags. So I only have a backpack. So I really can't carry tons of stuff in a big, huge suitcase. And even then you can't fit that much in there. So I would say the first piece is nomadic, and we can go into that a little bit if you want. And then the second piece was, I did an accelerator type program in Santiago, Chile, and it was about 2 months long, I think, and just got to see different mindsets around business. And there was a lot of expat business owners. There was a lot of traveling business owners, and actually a lot of Latin American business owners. And it was really interesting to dive in with them and see how they ran their business and see like the huge gaps and holes in the way that I was doing business. And that was why I went there. I mean, I really wanted to, this word scale, I kept hearing this word scale, and I was like, what do you need to do to scale? What do you need to do to serve more people? What do you need to do to make more money? And I realized the secret is organization and systems. And so that was actually where I hired the like organizational coach consultant, who was another guy in the program. And, you know, he sat with me in Starbucks, you know, pretty much every day or every other day for about an hour to go through my day to day and find systems and structures and softwares that could make my life easier, both on the road and just in communication with a team, and also communication with the client. I mean, clients know if you are dropping the ball, and some of them can look the other way and it's like, you're great enough, but to have a professional business with a legacy and longevity, you've got to have these systems. It's like no way around it.
Right. Especially when you're working with them one-on-one, or you have a regular communication pattern and all of a sudden something looks off. Yeah, it can get a lot of clients upset. And I'm curious to hear then, what did he specifically help you with? Like, what did he introduce to you that you didn't know? Or what was something that you learned from him and you said, wow, this was like a big change for me?
I don't think I knew anything, to be very honest. I think I was like, I mean, I knew Google Docs, I knew Dropbox. And but, you know, he introduced Trello to me, and sort of the Kanban like flow, and, you know, and literally like showed me how like the Honda car makers use Kanban. And it was just like really cool for me. Like, I love learning. So I was like, this is so fascinating. And now I'm like such a stickler for our Trello boards, because Trello is the really, I think, the most simple project management out there. And it's great for our clients, because our clients are not savvy and we can't put them on fancy softwares. They just don't survive there. And even they struggle with Trello. So, you know, just bringing Trello into my life. And then, you know, we started, I had worked with Asana, but not properly, not consistently, for like big vision stuff for my company. And then he introduced me to OmniFocus, and that really, like, it was just mind blowing is the best way to put it. Like, my brain just wasn't wired that way. And it's not that you can't be wired that way. That was something you and I were talking about before we got on here, because I thought, And this is sometimes the mindset of people, like, this is just how I am. This is how I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And if I'm a testament to that, is it doesn't have to be that way. And your life can be easier. Like, that's one of my mottos, is let it be easy. I heard Tim Ferriss speak a few years ago at South by Southwest, and he said something about that. That's sort of a minimalist mantra, but like, take it down to the simplest. And I was making things far too complicated. And that was why I was overwhelmed. That's why I was confused. That's why we were missing deadlines. That's why we were losing clients. I mean, either not keeping them on long term or not closing the sale. And I started to see sort of the gaps and the holes in the way I was doing things. And not to be like, oh, you're totally screwed up and you messed up really bad. But it's like, okay, how can I learn? How can I make this better? How can I see a way to do it next? And so when I was working with Alberto, it was like, I mean, it was crazy. It was like overnight. And one of my team members, I didn't realize she was an operational mind. I didn't realize she thrived in this type of structure and organization. And the moment it started, I mean, she stepped up in such a big way, and kind of, we promoted her basically to like an operational manager. And she was creating SOPs. She was monitoring the Trello boards. And you'll be surprised with team members or team members you can bring on that are going to help you thrive in that structure. One of my mentors is Natalie Zissin. She's the suitcase entrepreneur. And she has a, I don't think it's her quote, but she says it all the time, but she says there's freedom in structure. And if you have structure, you can have all the freedom that you could have ever dreamed of, whether it's travel, whether it's just having this life that you want. It's really, that's the secret, is building the structure first.
Yeah, no, this reminds me of this Facebook post that I posted maybe a couple of years ago. I kind of posted it as a joke to my friends and family where I was drinking like a beverage on the beach and I said, this is freedom. Thank you, systems. Right?
That's it. That's exactly what it is, because you wouldn't be able to be unplugged or relaxing or taking a few hours off if the systems weren't supporting you, if your team didn't have access to the systems. So I agree.
Yeah. One of the things I always tell other entrepreneurs is the more you travel, the more you stress test your business. Every time I travel and when I come back, we will talk about, okay, what are some of the things we couldn't do because I was away? Right? What are some of the things that slowed down because I was away? And the more you incorporate that into your, you know, we call it our retrospective, but whatever you want to call it, like a review process or just like sitting down one-on-one with it or with a team, when you just think about how, okay, you have this legitimate thing going on where you have to go away, right? Whether it's meeting a client or going on a trip or on vacation, and then you come back and you start to see, okay, what are some of the things that we just couldn't do? And you can be very strategic about certain stuff and say, okay, I know that if I go away, maybe this couldn't happen. You can start addressing that. But I've also learned that there's some things you just can't really plan for or you have no idea about until you actually go away for a while. So for example, I was in Tokyo last year for a couple of weeks and one of our domain names couldn't be renewed because there was two-factor authentication, but it was set up with my phone. And everybody was freaking out. I was like, hey, Dan, we need you to log in and like get it all sorted out. I'm like, okay, let me just address this. And you know, that's something I could never think of, right? And so I'm curious to hear, like, as you start to travel and run your business, what are some of the things that you've seen that in terms of systems or processes that really helped you create that freedom to have that time to maybe enjoy the location where you're at or just have peace of mind? Like, how do you work when you travel?
Yeah, so I would say one of the best practices is around time zones, because each sort of continent has its own work-life balance. And you have to go to that continent and be in that flow to see what it is. And like you probably know from Asia, it's kind of backwards. Like, so I started waking up at 4 a.m. so I could catch the afternoon in the United States and in Central America, because that was just easiest for me. Depending on your work hours, depending on if you have to do calls, whether it's with client or team, you just need to be flexible with it. I've also done like VIP days with clients while I was in Turkey at 3 o'clock in the morning. So just, you know, staying up all night or waking up early and just making it happen. So getting used to the time zones, I think, is a tricky one with each continent, but I love that. Like, going back, reviewing, how can I do this better if I come back to this continent? So we've done a little bit of that. But the other piece I think for me is like I travel places longer. So I don't feel guilty or bad if I take a full day off or a full 3 days off to get work done. And I've seen other nomadic entrepreneurs struggle with this, especially if they're traveling places just for a weekend or even just for a few days or even 7 days. And then if they took 3 days off, that would be 3 days they didn't get to see all the sights and do all the things. Be okay with working. Be okay with working, because you get to live this lifestyle and you can always come back. You know, you have the flexibility, the funds, and the resources to come back and see this place again if it's some place that you really love. I also, you know, I have like a setup and a routine and I have a work ethic that's just like get work done. I don't get distracted by like, oh, there's a salsa festival. Unless I really want to go to the salsa festival and then I make it work, right? Maybe I'm going to work late or maybe I'm going to get up early and I'm just going to make it happen. I find that like just sort of having my little setup, I have a Roost little stand for my laptop and I have my keypad and my extended keyboard. Just like I have a little setup. I go there, I zone in, I know what I need to do, and I go and I get it done. And I think this is sort of that, if there's any moms out there, there's this efficiency to the brain. I'm not a mom, but I've seen the mom, especially the mom entrepreneur mind work. They have 45 minutes and they get done in 45 minutes what people would take 5 hours to do, because there's this like laser focus to like, this is the time I have. I need to get X, Y, and Z done, and time and space bend for me. And if you are not distracted, if you're not going on Facebook, if you're not looking at your phone, if you're not distracted by all the things that most people are distracted by, you actually can get things done quite quickly. And so I think that's sort of the nomadic mind or the location independent mind is, if you've got 2 hours to get this done before the salsa festival, you'll get it done. You'll get it done, or then you'll delegate it to the other people who are awake or will be awake soon to get the rest done. And it's, you, again, it's this mindset of like 10 steps ahead. You always have to be 10 steps ahead when you're traveling to make sure that things actually get done. And, you know, having a Trello or an Asana to track it is necessary.
Yeah, and I think those are fantastic tools, and there's nothing like a good deadline or something very time sensitive that will force you to work within the parameters or space that you do have. Because I personally do struggle with working and traveling at the same time. I'm more of a, I know some people, for example, when they manage their email, they have a unified inbox. They have like 5-7 different accounts and everything funnels into one inbox and they just process it. Whereas I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have a inbox for my personal life, inbox for work, and maybe several inboxes for work. And so when I travel, I usually categorize things in my own head as well. So I might say, okay, this is a business trip. So I'm going to just work and focus on doing that. And so my mindset now is focused on, okay, let's do business, let's work, and that's the outcome of this trip. And then when I go on vacation, it's the complete opposite. Like, don't bother me, don't contact me at all. And like, I'm going to enjoy my time off and then I'll come back and I'll be back 100% enjoying what I'm doing and fully engaged. And so I always admire people who can do the hybrid version, right? They go somewhere and they can work, but also vacation, enjoy the culture, enjoy some time off while they're there. So I'm curious to hear how you approach that, because...
So my life is a vacation.
Interesting.
Well, I also work with boutique hotels and resorts. So I work in the travel industry. So I really work around people on vacation. Like, we make jokes. We have like hashtag vacay all day. Like that's how we live. And so you can easily get pulled into that and you won't get any work done. And I've been there on those trips and, you know, just everyone else is relaxing and not working. But for me, it's like peace of mind. Otherwise, it's in the back of your mind. It's there. It's sticky. You're not going to fully enjoy what you're at unless you take care of it. Or if you can fully say, okay, I'm going to take care of this tonight from 7 to 10, and I'm going to be fully present with what I'm at today. So I have to be in like work vacation mode all the time, because I'm at these beautiful places that it's like hard to not enjoy. And some of my work is fun, right? So like, I work with a resort and I need to go experience all of the things that we're going to write marketing content on, or we're going to create a website around. And so I literally have like a flashback to last year. I'm floating down a river in Belize on a tube, but I'm thinking about work. Like, I'm experiencing the experience. And I'm also thinking about how we can show this in a video drone shot and a video for the client. So I'm constantly in that mode. But I don't like fully recommend that. Like, make sure you know how to turn it off and be fully present in where you're at. But turn it on when you need to work. And so I can't fully detach. Like, I take 2 weeks off a year, 100%. Like offline completely. And one is for Burning Man and one is for a retreat that I go to in Costa Rica. And those are like my 2 weeks that I fully detach, but the other ones I'm working no matter where I am.
So how do you keep that balance of not working too much or not like relaxing too much? Because I can see how that can be difficult for some people, including myself.
I think it's constantly checking in on yourself, knowing where you're at. I'll know if I just went through a stint of like working like my butt off and like just long days, you know, contract after contract. And I'll know I need that like relaxing time. And so I'll take those few days, whether it's like a staycation or I'm actually going somewhere fabulous. But making sure you check in on yourself, you look in your schedule and you schedule it. I'm a huge fan of retreats, and I've hosted retreats and I do some marketing around retreats. And I think entrepreneurs forget vacation time, and entrepreneurs forget that their vacation time can actually be productive by going on a retreat or going to a conference or going to a mastermind. And so I really recommend to a lot of my friends to schedule at least one thing a quarter that feels like a little bit of work and a little bit of fun. And there's a way that they can meet in the middle. And, you know, one of my other like mantras is you have to go away to go within. And, you know, whether that means getting on an airplane, whether that means just checking into an Airbnb in your own town and just like getting some mental space and some perspective on things. Also finding days in your schedule. For me, like even if I'm traveling, I still have like strategy meetings. We stick to that schedule because we use like Traction, the Vision Track organizer. So we follow our schedule. And even if I'm in Sri Lanka, we're still doing our team Zoom call and I'm still sticking to it like I was in an office because my whole team is remote. So we have to keep some structure and semblance like we have a physical office. And even if it's Zoom or Skype or WhatsApp, that is our physical offices and our physical meetings that we stick to, and we don't change the schedule and everybody must show up.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up because that is something I experienced myself, because at Asian Efficiency, we also have a remote team. We have people in different countries, different time zones. And I fully agree what you just said there, where you can't really make exceptions when you travel. For example, we have our daily huddle at 11 a.m. Central. It's not going to change whether I'm in Asia, in Europe, or Antarctica. It does not change. I will have to show up at 11 a.m. Central wherever I am. And I've tried to change it over the last couple of years, like, oh, if I go somewhere, let's change it. But then you disrupt everybody else's schedule, right? And it affects not just me, but multiple people on the team and in the company. So when you have that baseline to say, hey, everybody needs to be here at 11 a.m. It's not negotiable. When you get hired, you know, we always have this meeting at 11 a.m. There's no exceptions. Now people can work around that. Now they can say, okay, I can take my kids to soccer practice at this time, but not this time. And so we introduce that kind of structure where you have meetings. For example, we have all of our meetings on Wednesday. So now everybody knows like, okay, on Wednesday, I have to be present. I have to be there at this time and this time and this time. So everybody can do all their other stuff on the other days. And that structure allows us to now say, okay, Wednesday's meeting day. We're not going to do a lot of work. Let's just get together, collaborate, talk about stuff, figure out problems that we need to solve. And then the rest of the week, everybody can, you know, kind of go on their own. But 11 a.m., everybody knows we're going to be there. And once you start making exceptions, then things really start to fall apart.
Well, you're the leader, right? Like no matter what you're doing in a company, even if you're not the CEO or the CFO or whatever, you're in a leadership position and anything you do is going to influence everyone around you. And so if you're bending the rules and changing things and changing the deliverables and changing, you know, your reporting, then they all think they can get away with it too. That happened to me for about 3 or 4 months when I was traveling. I was like, oh, we're going to change. And I was just changing myself. But then everybody started to change because they thought, oh, Linan's doing it, everyone can do it. And it was like, no. And you're really setting the tone of how people are going. And we have team members that travel too, you know, and are working remotely. And I need them to be working professionally and with structure, whether they're in Hawaii or Bali or at home.
So what are some of the structures that you've put in place that allowed you to introduce that kind of structure to everybody else?
Well, so we do Friday, we do reporting for the next week. So typically we'll have, I don't do the client meetings, the account meetings on Mondays and Tuesdays. So Fridays are like a big wrap up day and people are sending me reports. And if I don't get a report, like, or there's a red flag, like somebody is, it's going to be like on Saturday morning, like, I hope you're doing this right now. I hope I'm getting it in the next hour. So that's like the biggest structure. The other thing is we're really committed to all of our team members, like personal growth and spiritual journey. And so we do mentoring once a month. And so that's pretty consistent as well. It's that last week of the month that we consistently talk to them about their vision, about what they're working on, how I can support them, where they feel like they're struggling, any feedback that they have for us, any feedback that we have for them. It's really helpful. I think mostly I think about things really big picture with that stuff, because the nitty gritty is like per contract. And we usually set the whole structure up together. And it has to do with the client structure too, because different clients have different working styles. And I don't like to change like the entire thing for them, but you have to be a bit accommodating, because we often are working with like people who are not tech savvy at all. And so, you know, we've taught people how to use Google Docs. You know, we've taught people how to use Zoom, and, you know, adding Trello to their phone and showing them how the alerts will show up and how they can comment. And so we have to take it the pace of the client. And so we do create sort of like a unique set of rules or structure to each client, and then everybody follows them.
I want to take this opportunity to thank Skillshare for sponsoring the Productivity Show. Skillshare is an online learning platform that you can access from anywhere in the world. Whether you're trying to improve your professional skill set, get better at completing your tasks, or want to explore a new passion, Skillshare is there to keep you learning and thriving. There's over 20,000 classes in all areas of focus, and one thing I like about Skillshare is that they have people teaching the classes who are at the top of their game. For example, in the marketing section, there is a SEO course by Moz founder Rand Fishkin and a social media strategy course by Gary Vaynerchuk. That one has had almost 30,000 students, and these are world-renowned experts in their fields. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare, and we have a special offer just for the Productivity Show listeners. Go to skillshare.com/TPS and get 2 months of Skillshare for just 99 cents. That gives you a lot of time to explore the courses and get a lot of value. So to recap, Skillshare is offering the Productivity Show listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes for just 99 cents. To sign up, go to skillshare.com/TPS. Go start your 2 months now at skillshare.com/TPS. I want to get nerdy for a second, because I'm always curious how people structure, for example, their calendars, especially when you travel, you have different time zones, how you set up your to-do list, like how you focus and get stuff done. What are some of the tools or apps that you use? So let's just start with the calendar.
Oh my God, there's so many things. Okay, so first thing I'm going to say is, so I love softwares, but I love a physical person. So I have an assistant who I call the CEO Minder, and she's like my second brain, because there still is an AI that's this savvy, but there will be one day. So she will get forwarded emails like add to calendar, remind on this day, check or for her to check or track. So she has her own Trello board that I can always view. So it's got check in, track, check, track, reminder. I think that's it. Just check and reminder. So I get a daily reminder email from her every day. I also have softwares that do this, but I find that there's a physical person that I'm accountable to. I get things done a little bit better, and I have to report back. And so if I say like, this is done, this is halfway done, she can add it to reminders for either later in the day or for the next day. Or if I say follow up in a week, follow up next Thursday, like she'll even put reminders in my calendar, which again, AI will be able to do one day soon. And then I keep my own Trello board of everything that I'm working on. So backlog, new, in process, approvals, and then complete. And I have multiple projects. So everything is color coded to each of the different types of projects. Otherwise my brain literally will explode. And sometimes if the project is too big, we've actually created a separate board. So I'm managing multiple boards. I think I mentioned to you, I have 7 email accounts. So I do have 2 personal email accounts. I have 2 business accounts, and then I have ones that are attached to other projects. And some of them I don't monitor. My assistant monitors them, or a software, you know, puts them into a folder. I'm using Boomerang a lot. Boomerang is like my best friend, because I'll write an email that needs to be sent sometime in the future that I won't remember to send. So right now I'm not using OmniFocus, even though I do love the structure of OmniFocus. So I am using a lot of those kind of techniques. So I have several folders that are like, this will be taken care of later. This will be taken care of with a reminder in 2 days, 5 days, and 1 week. So 2, 5, 7. And then anything that's in 1 month goes to another folder. I've tried to do inbox zero. It's so hard for me. Like, that's still something that I struggle with. And I think some of it has to do with, I follow a lot of marketers and I have like a crazy swipe file, but that's something we've actually kind of automated too. So anything that goes into this one swipe folder, one of our assistants takes it and puts it into a Google Doc. So, and then we slowly are deleting thousands of emails. I'm always trying to pay attention to what's new and cutting edge, because I just talked about AI. Like, that stuff totally nerds out. Like, I'm really always wanting now to learn about more ways that I can be more efficient and more ways that I can track and more ways that I can integrate it with my team. So I just heard about Monday. So monday.com, and they also have an app, and I'm learning how it's basically, I can share tasks with clients. I'm not a Slack person. I don't like Slack. Slack overwhelms me. I'll work on it if I have to with a client, but I don't like Slack. I don't think there's a way to organize on it. A lot of tech people love it. I'm not a tech person. I'm a marketing person. But Monday has been really similar to that, but I can create a task and I can track the parts of it and I can attach things. So it has this Trello feel, but it's far more efficient and far more organized. And it's a little more high level than Trello.
I'm really curious how you came up with the system where you have this accountability with your assistant, because I figured out a lot of things with my assistant as well, but we don't have this accountability thing. And it sounds very interesting to me. And I'm curious to hear, do you remember how you came up with that? Or like,
I do. So I actually had a mentor come up with it for me, because I think I was having like an overwhelm meltdown, and she was like, why doesn't your assistant just remind you? And in my head, I was like, why would my assistant send me reminders? Like, I have automation that can send me reminders. Like, I should be remembering these things. I should have them in my calendar. And she said, well, you could hire another person, or you could kind of teach her to be a CEO minder. That's what she calls it. It's almost like a babysitter. And when I dropped all my ego and all of that, I was like, okay, let's try it. Let's see how it goes. And honestly, it was the most efficient and productive week I had, because I knew she was going to send the email first thing in the morning and it was going to say all the things that I needed to get done. And then I almost had like my built-in to-do list that my mind had built days before. So I didn't have to sit there and recall. And like, I could open the Trello, you know, we have a lot of tracking for our follow-ups and things like that, but I pull out the top, it's like the top five. It's like the most important things that must get done today. And I will say I get more done because she sends these emails. It's like, I see them, I go, it's only three things. I can sit here and do these right now. And it's like a follow-up, or it's like a check on something, or it's a send this person something, or you know, send me the hotel you want to stay at for the wedding. And then I just go in and that's the hotel I want, or that's the Airbnb I want. And then she goes and books it. And it's like the laundry list that we acquire, like in VTO, they call it an issues list, but it's that stuff that stays in the back of your mind that like blocks you and slows you down from being fully present, and also from fully, you know, being able to execute in the best way possible for your business or your life, like to be present with your family or with your children or your best friend or your partner. Like, that stuff is over to the side. And I know that her name is Carol. I know Carol's going to take care of it for me. And actually, one of my team members just hired Carol as well to do some similar stuff, because she saw how it was helping me be so productive. And again, they're going to have AI for this. I know they are one day.
So what is your communication rhythm like with her? Because obviously she has to be very in sync with what's going on with the business, with your life. Like, do you guys talk on a daily basis? Do you guys check in? Like, how do you guys do that?
We do a weekly check-in, like actual like Zoom call, so we can see each other's face. But we're in communication pretty much all day long. We use WhatsApp. WhatsApp is sort of the preferred communication for my company because we're international, but also because it's straight to your desktop and it's much, much, much more easy and organized for us. Easy to search through. So her and I keep updated on WhatsApp, and She has a separate calendar and trailer board that I don't know about that has all of my detailed minding. And she was just, I hired a really organized person who likes the details, and she had basically like personal assisting background. So she knew how to like stay on top of things. So she had travel booking experience. She had, you know, like I needed to get a bottle of scotch for a client. It's very specific. She can find that kind of thing. So just getting really dialed into what type of tasks they would be doing. And then that's how I know she reads my mind. It's find a mind reader.
I wish I had more people who could read my mind,
but also who ask questions. I think the best, team members, contractors, employees, they need to be not afraid to ask questions and know, 'cause like I'm like anal retentive. Like I must double check things, especially things written. So everyone on my team knows that if I don't respond in 24 hours for approval of an email, they can send it. But otherwise I need to sit there and I need to edit it. Mm. And so she's really meticulous about that. Like this email is written, please approve, please edit. You know, I get a text reminder and I go in and I take care of it.
Interesting. So Tim came up with this phrase, he calls it decision-making guidelines. And if you've read Work the System, they call it operating procedures. And it's basically the idea of, hey, how can other people make decisions for you? So like you said, if I didn't reply within 24 hours, you can send me a reminder email. Do you know on top of your head, what are some of those decision-making guidelines that you instilled in other people or have maybe documented that allows people to work the way they work and also help you?
I mean, it's a process. I'm constantly trying to take things off my own plate and give them to other people and empower people on my team to step into more leadership roles. So we send agenda emails weekly to clients, and I used to like watch over them like a hawk. I don't know why, but I feel like once you have a catalog of the past, you know, 6 months, 12 months with that client, you could show it to someone and be like, this is the pattern. This is what it looks like. But you also have to remember that you can't give it to them right away. You need to like watch them for a few months because they're going to be in a learning curve. They're not you. They're a different human being who is learning to do things their way. And you're finding that happy medium where you're both happy and you're both creating something that's amazing that you can give to a client or that can help the business run efficiently. So that one that pops up, the agendas, became a really big thing for us. And then the way that we host our kickoff calls. So I'm very meticulous about the start of a new client. And I'm getting even more meticulous, but like, this is email one, this is email two, this is email three. This is what the agenda for the kickoff call looks like. If it changes in any way, then we must schedule a second call, that because it's the whole work plan call, we must schedule a second call because my vision is that it's not just going to be me doing it. I want to have more me's doing it in the future. So always thinking that way. And that's where this whole journey started. You know, like now I think that way. Now my mindset is, how do I make the systems more efficient? How do I make the customers more comfortable? In marketing, we call that a stick strategy. It's literally reinforcing that they made the right decision in hiring your company or buying your product. Like, how do you really curate that experience? And it's systems and a plan and knowing exactly how it's going to look. And you tweak it a little bit sometimes, but that there is this main structure and it makes your life so much easier. Like, you don't have to think about it when you need to send that second email. It's like, pull up the template, or my assistant pulls up the template and she says, any customization? I go, no, just, you know, and we have the yellow parts that are like their name or their business. And she sends it off for me.
I love it. You're speaking my language. And I wish more entrepreneurs were on this track as well and start documenting some stuff and having this number two person who's very operationally
minded. I'm ready to get a number three. I want two of them.
Well, we can get you a number three. I'm sure people who are listening to the show would consider themselves operationally minded and system minded. So if you're listening and you're resonating with Lynann, definitely reach out to her. What's your email address, by the way?
Lynann@theexperienceexperts.com.
Okay. So
you find me on all the social medias. I'm everywhere.
we'll make sure to include links to everything that she does at the end as well. But one of the things I also want to talk to you about is, as you know, as you start to grow your business and you start to hire more people, you start to document everything, everybody goes through this period where you have to learn how to delegate. You have to give stuff that you do that normally you think only you can do to somebody else another human being that isn't you. And I'm curious to hear, what has your experience been like delegating from where you were, let's say, 4 or 5 years ago to what it is now today?
Giving up control is the hardest thing in my life for me. So I will definitely say it wasn't like a walk in the park, and there was a learning curve to it. So about 2 years ago, I actually got rid of most of my team. They just were not the right people. They weren't people I felt comfortable 100% delegating to, even though we had created the systems. And you have to be okay with that. For me, I think I'm somebody who's good at like, take this, but I'm not good at like follow up. Like, how did it go? Like, do you need more feedback? Like, what does the training cycle look like? And so I've had to bring people on to support me to do that, or at least mentor me. And I think the other thing that I've learned with delegation, even though it's like pulling teeth sometimes, to give someone a task that you're really attached to, and like let them learn and let them have 3 or 4 tries at it. Let them mess it up, right? Let them mess it up big time, send the wrong email to the client and you're mortified and you just have to apologize. Like, you just have to be okay with that. But the other, like I would say the sunny side of that is that sometimes they do it better than you did. And that's the kind of people that I like to hire. And that's the kind of softwares I like to find, is where they did it better than we did. And when that happens, it's like a surprise birthday party. Like, it's so amazing. And that's actually having probably, I think now 2 or 3 people like that come into the company has been just like reinforcing, like, delegation is good. You need to give more up. You could give even more up, and you could give even more up. And for me now, it's monitoring like my stress levels, like, am I sleeping well? And if I'm not, then I need to hire someone else. I need to find the money. I need to make the money so I can find someone who does this more efficiently than me. And I think that's some of where we get confused, is we think it's only me. I'm the only one who can do this as good as I can. And I've been proven wrong multiple times, because they're going to improve upon what you do with their skill set, with their experience, with who they are and how they show up. And I mean, it's a little blow to the ego, but you're just like, oh my God, that's amazing. You're so good at this. Like, yes. And then I want to love them up, and I want to reinforce them doing that and doing that more and doing that more for more clients. So don't be afraid to give it up, because they actually might prove that they're way better than you.
Oh yeah. I've seen this happen so many times, and it's just one of those positive reinforcements where when they do it better than you, faster than you, you go, oh my gosh, I should have done this 5 years ago.
Oh, and the client's like raving and you're just like, oh my God, they're amazing.
Exactly. And I'm so grateful for the team members that we have who are in that position and are able to over deliver them what I expect from them. And as you start to level up in your business and grow it, and just in your personal life as well, I think there's a very strong correlation almost, where the level of growth in your business really comes down to, or a big part of it comes down to, your willingness to delegate and build other people up. It's not just about you anymore. It's now about other people, caring about them, making sure that when you give stuff to them, that they can succeed in that role or task that you give them. And the more you're taking yourself out of that, the more others can succeed and supersede you, even in some capacity. And I think seeing that happen with other entrepreneurs and business owners, I think is so admirable. And that's, I think, all things we should strive for. But it's, like you said, it's not easy.
It's the real purpose behind entrepreneurship. I'm really realizing this. Yeah, it's great helping clients. It's great spreading your message. But the team members that you build, and you build them up, that's the real impact. That's the real, I mean, that's what I'm mostly committed to right now in my business, is making all the people around me just shine.
I was talking to a friend of mine who will remain anonymous, but he was saying how he really transformed himself from, let's say, 4 or 5 years ago to who he is today. And he said, you know, Tian, I don't have any kids right now, but when I was growing my business and the fact that I hired all these people and trained them and became a better leader, I really think once I do have a kid, I'm going to be a much better dad because of that. I've now had plenty of, you know, practice runs with people, what to do, what not to do. how to manage people, how to manage emotions.
You
know,
when they totally mess up, I didn't scream at them. I was understanding and teaching them the learning experience. I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah. And as you know, a big part of the business, or at least for me, is becoming the person that you always wanted to become. And business is just kind of a vehicle to get there, because you're learning about numbers. You're learning about, you know, people skill. You're learning about systems, like all these things that translate into your personal life as well. And delegation and growing your team and growing your people, I think, is a big, big part of that. So it's really awesome to hear that you're experiencing that as well.
Well, and you were talking about Carol, my CEO minder, but you know, the reason we work well, so well together, and she almost reads my mind, is because we're friends and I care about her and I know about her life. And it's not like super intimate and we're like, know all the details, but she knows what's going on in my life. Like, I have problems and she knows about them and she has to help me fix them.
So switching back to travel, since that is your expertise, before we wrap it up here, I'm curious to hear, what are some of the other tips or strategies that you have when it comes to getting stuff done while you're in a different time zone, different country? Because I know, for example, you mentioned that you go carry on only, right? You only have a backpack. Like, what are some of the things that you bring with you that are like mandatory? I know you love the Roost stand.
I love my Roost stand.
Every digital nomad has one nowadays.
I know. I have to have a little umbrella. I have a little travel umbrella. But that's just like the packing things. But for business, what I would say is that it's absolutely necessary for me, especially if I'm staying Airbnbs or hotels, for them to send me a speed test report beforehand. That's something my ex-boyfriend taught me. And you can ask Airbnb people. They're happy to do it. Because, you know, if them saying it's good internet, that could mean anything, right? Like, I'm rolling the dice. You know, I can't do that. Like, I cannot have poor quality internet. I need to have good quality internet. So that's a big tip. And then the other piece is, like I said, if you can take the day off and fully work, or if you need to work for 3 days, like, know where the co-working spaces are, know where there's a great coffee shop with internet. I love Foursquare. Foursquare is not big in the US, but Foursquare is big every other country. So having the Foursquare app is fantastic. And you can literally type in like the nearest coffee shop with Wi-Fi, and you will find one immediately, and you can read the reviews and you can sit down. And like, sometimes the Wi-Fi password is like there. You don't even have to talk to anybody. You don't even have to buy a coffee if you don't want to. So I love Foursquare for that. And then I think the other thing is like finding your routine in the like non-routine of travel. So whatever your process is at home, whether it's like, I need a desk, so in your Airbnb or in your hotel room, like making sure you set up your desk so it's like a place you want to go. And you know, for me, I love to take notes. Like, I do like SOP stuff and other stuff like that. So I always put my notepad out and my pen, and I've got my Roost and everything is ready to go, and I can just like jump on. And so it's like a little desk setup no matter where I go, or I can take it with me and I can take it into a coffee shop or a restaurant or whatever. And then I would say the other piece is like, know what your schedule is the week that you're traveling, and make sure that you, like, if you want to go to the Eiffel Tower, block off 4 hours so that you can go to the Eiffel Tower. So there's not calls and you're not rushing back. I mean, I've definitely been there, or like I was at a hammam in Morocco and my hammam experience went over 45 minutes and I had a call. And I always get a SIM card no matter where I go, because now it's just like absolutely necessary that I can be gotten a hold of at any moment. But I was trying to take a call, like walking through the Medina, and there was terrible service. And it was just like, that was planning on my part. Like, maybe I should have Googled and find out how long the hammam experience really is. And sometimes it's extra long. And how far is the walk to the hotel? And am I going to be back in time? So just like thinking about the experiences you want to have, and then building your work schedule around them. So creating some sort of routine or structure around what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I had AJ that you know a while back on the podcast, and he lives a very similar lifestyle that you do. Where
he probably travels more than me.
Yeah, he travels all the time, and he knows how to, like you said, time block certain things mm-hmm. off, or either focus work or doing client calls. And
I have focus every day. I have an hour focus every day.
I think that's great. If everybody could have 1 hour of deep work, as we like to call it,
I say working on the business, not in the business. So step out. Look at it from above. What can I do to improve?
Yeah, I love that. And it's compounding. The more you do it consistently over time, the more results you start to see.
And your life is so much easier when things come up because it's all prepared and ready to go.
Yeah, we have this concept called thinking time where we introduce this concept of, hey, you need to zoom out every now and then to think about your business or to think about your life. Because if you're like you've experienced yourself, if you just go through the day to day, you don't really plan for it to really work on stuff, whether it's your business or your life, then it won't happen. You're just going to be pulled in from whatever is happening at
one
that time.
One fire to the next fire to the next fire, and you never get to thrive. You never get to grow. You never get to have those big clients that you always dream about getting.
Yeah. Oh, one thing that made a big shift and change in my happiness when it comes to travel is whenever I stay at an Airbnb now, I'll have, especially if it's within the States, I'll have my assistant. She has this checklist of things I always want to have at my Airbnb. And one of the things was also the internet speed, super crucial for me as well, obviously being a remote company. But also, and this is something I learned from Tim Francis that, you know, where we had the dinner party together with, and he's been on the podcast as well. One of the things I learned from him was, he will have his groceries delivered at the Airbnb and it'll be in the fridge before he arrives.
I would do that in the US. A lot of my travel's international, so I don't always have that convenience. But I do stay with I try to stay with friends or associates in the US. But I do like to find a grocery store because I'm like a snacker. I don't like to go out to eat all the time. So a little fridge is always helpful, and like little breakfast stuff and snacks. And that way, if I have to do a crazy work day, I've got some stuff for a salad that I can eat and I don't have to leave.
Yeah, I like to be very peculiar with my Airbnb. Like, it has to have a certain desk.
That's a podcast or a blog post I would read. I want to know the peculiar things that you need in your Airbnbs.
I can list them now. I'm just on top of my head. There's a more extensive list somewhere in my Evernote with my assistant. But it needs to have a desk, right? Internet speed needs to be a certain amount of speed.
Does it have to be a desk or can it be a kitchen table?
No, it has to be a desk.
Oh, I'm fine with kitchen table.
If it's a kitchen table, like I can't have high top. Like I can't do that because when I do writing, I do it best when I'm sitting. Okay. Yeah. I can't write when I'm standing. Always has to have a fridge. It also needs to be a minimum square footage because I notice if it's too small, I can't, like if I'm feeling like I'm in a studio, I can't focus when my bed is right in sight. I feel like I need to lay down and take a nap. So it always has to be a separate room, ideally. Lots of natural light.
I like windows too. I like Airbnbs that are cute too. That helps me. And a great location.
Oh, location is so cute.
So if I want to pop out for 45 minutes between calls and get a coffee or go see a museum or something, I can. It's walkable. It's close by. And so I'll do a lot of research on the neighborhoods and things like that. So I'm right in the heart or right off the heart of where I want to be.
Yeah, I've told my assistant everything has to be walking distance within 5 minutes of walking.
I still haven't released the Airbnb. I have to pick it. I don't trust someone else.
No, once you do it, this is going to be a game changer.
This is my industry. I'm really, it's something I can't let go of. Like,
you say this now, but talk to me again.
Okay, all right. We'll talk in a year. We'll see if I've let it go.
One thing that really helped was if you take a lot of pictures of the places that you like, then over time, the other person will know.
There's a look. Yeah. And you probably, because you can look at your history. I love that at Airbnb. You can see your history of all the places you've ever stayed. And so mine is like a million years long. But you can go and see like the aesthetic and what they have and, you know.
And what helped me was when I was onboarding my assistant, we went through my Airbnb history. And I basically said, okay, this location, I really like this and that, but I didn't like this. This location, I didn't like this, but I really loved that, but didn't like this. And then over time, especially if you have a good operational person, they'll take notes.
A little SOP of like, this is the do's and the don'ts for a time. So.
Yeah. And I did the same thing with hotels. The easier part was when you have, you know, a chain that you stay with for obviously, as you know, maximize your points and, you know, your stays and all that stuff. she knows now, okay, Tan likes certain hotel chains the best. When he goes to this particular city, like for me, most of my travels, especially when it's business, is relatively the same cities most of the time. So once you figure out a good location, it's easy.
It's easy. It's the same place every time.
But if it's a new location, then there's a lot of research that goes into that and like preferences. And yeah, I totally get it. And in the beginning, it was very difficult to give up. I will admit. But now it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy.
It's the only travel planning I do anymore. So I love it.
I know people, when they think about travel, they think, oh, it's going to be awesome and like amazing. But there's actually a lot of stressful parts to travel, like getting to the airport, doing all the research up front and like going through the travel part itself. But once you get to the destination, then that's oftentimes like, this is nice.
Well, I don't think of travel as stressful. I think the way that I think of travel is like, it's an expansive experience. It's going to make you think bigger and be like, what else is possible? And, you know, you do have to do some planning, but also you can fly by the seat of your pants a little bit. And there's room for flexibility and you can cancel things and change things. And I want to stay here longer and you should follow those intuitive hits. They've turned into clients and friends and things like that for me. So I try not to make it stressful. Like it should be something that's fun to do. You've sort of hacked it, right? You've come up with like a system for Airbnbs and things like that. But like, know what airlines you like. Know that, you know, everyone on my team knows I like window seats. People on my team also know that I like room temperature water. These are like weird things about me that like people start to realize when they hang out around you and they start to work with you over and over again. And so just let it be fun. Let it be easy.
I'm an ale guy. I like to sit on the ale and get out as soon as possible.
I have long legs, so then I get whacked by the cart. Actually, it happened to me last night. I had the full row, but I decided to sit in the aisle, and she whapped me like three times. I was like, gosh.
Now, before we wrap it up, I'm pretty sure some women who are listening today go, Lynann, how can you travel all the time? How can you travel alone? Like, isn't that unsafe? Isn't that dangerous? Isn't that like X, Y, and Z? Like, how do you make that happen?
So, I mean, I work in the travel industry and I know there's a fair amount of fear mongering going on, especially to deter women from experiencing the world. And there are places where women are of a different social class. They're treated differently. But I've traveled extensively in Muslim countries and I've always felt safe. I guess my invitation to women is to find that confidence, find that daring, brave part of you and go for it and know that you'll figure it out. Even seasoned travelers screw things up. Even seasoned travelers make mistakes and that's how we learn and that's how we grow. And I really believe travel is this really transformational experience that you go on and you learn about yourself and you learn about your ways of being. And, you know, especially if you are someone who's lived in the same city all the time and you don't, you know, break out of your shell too much, it's great. I mean, I have to make new friends. That's when I love staying at like the nicer hostels. I can't stay at dirty hostels, but I'll stay at nicer hostels because there's like a community room and I can be like, hey, where are you guys going today? And I can just make some new friends and make some new contacts. Also, there's some of my amazing Facebook groups. If you've never heard of Girls Love Travel, Haley was here in Austin last week for TravelCon, but just literally thousands of women. I was in Morocco going through a breakup and I posted on there and I hung out with four amazing women and had a really fun 2 days going on a crazy adventure. And like that kind of community is always available to you. And if you want to wander the streets alone, you can. And most places it's super safe. You know, stay where it's well lit, you know, follow your intuition, do what you need to do and use the resources that are available on the internet. I really think there's so many great bloggers. There's so many content creators who are creating amazing content to help empower you to travel. It's like, how can I do it? Because I just do it. And even though I'm scared or even though I have fear, I do it anyways. And I remember I consistently have this feeling when I go on a big trip, I'll be in the airport and I kind of like don't have no idea what the trip is going to be like. Like I have the outline, I know where I'm going to go, but I have no idea what the experience is going to be like, but I know it's going to be an amazing memory. It's going to be phenomenal. I'm going to meet so many amazing people. I'm going to see amazing sights. I'm going to eat amazing food. And I just am open to that experience. And you create your experience. Like that's how the world works. So if you want to see things, you'll see things. If you want to sit in your hotel and do nothing, sit in your hotel and do nothing. But how can I do it? Because I say yes and I just do it. And that's an option for everybody.
I love it.
Get out of your comfort zone. Just do it.
Well, thank you, Lynann, for sharing all this insight today, all the wisdom and all the experiences you had. I learned so much from you today. I really enjoyed our conversation today. If people want to go and find more about you and go to your website and potentially even hire you, where should they go?
TheExperienceExperts.com. We also have TravelCon.org, and I'm all over social media. Lynanne Saperstein. You'll find me. It's not too hard.
Yeah, we'll make sure to add all of that to the show notes today. And thanks again for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
If you're like Lynanne a few years ago, where you were overwhelmed, failing, and behind on everything, then I want to invite you to take our productivity quiz. We've helped over 13,000 people tackle their to-do lists, maximize their time, and achieve their goals. If you're tired of your never-ending to-do list and you want to become more productive, take 2 minutes and complete our online productivity quiz. You will get personalized tips and strategies to help you work smarter without sacrificing time from other areas of your life. You shouldn't be sacrificing what you care about to get stuff done, because you should be able to get it all done in the time you have. So to take the quiz, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, the URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. You can also find all the links to everything we discussed today in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/222. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us an iTunes review or a star in Overcast. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.